Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kodiak medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled The Brush Dance.
The Brush Dance.
Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kodiak medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled The Brush Dance.
The Brush Dance. My job in life, my training as the Fatewinans woman, is to make this little world of ours here on the river a happy world, and to make this a happy place. I don't really think I can do that. But that is our belief, and that is the focus of my life. I am not to judge people. I am to make them feel better about themselves. Whatever situations is in this world, I should make them feel content with that. That's what I'm supposed to do. This brush dance was controversial because the family that had been giving the dance had continued to say that they were going to do so when the time was right for them. I told the medicine man that I could be the medicine woman for this brush dance, but that I didn't want to argue or fight about it. If the family who had been giving the ceremony didn't like me being medicine woman, I did not want to have to say anything or do anything about it. The tribe would have to do all the political stuff that had to do with giving that dance. If there was too much controversy, I couldn't do it. Because I'm not here to fight with people. I'm here to make it a happier place, not to go fighting with people about things. I don't like to argue and fight about anything. When it was decided that I would be the medicine woman for this dance, I went to Elk Valley to make medicine for the ceremony with my granddaughter Bianca, who would be my helper, my grandson Kogi, who would help me on the trail, and a small crew who would help out in other ways. You don't take many people with you when you go to Elk Valley, because it takes a lot of strength to pull them together. On this trip, Sunnybuck was there to cook for the crew, and Longon was with us to help out. The first day, I ate acorn soup to get ready for my fast. The next day, Saturday, I had a cup of water with about a spoonful of acorn soup in it for my three meals. Then on Sunday, I had two meals like that. On Monday, I went up the mountain and stayed overnight, and my granddaughter Bianca, who was my female helper, and I danced and sang with my grandson Kogi, my male helper, camped below us. Every so often, he would come up and put wood on the fire, and he danced and sang down below. I knew I was supposed to start singing and dancing just at sunset, and the sun was not completely down yet, but the sky was getting kind of gray-looking. Kogi thought he heard us singing, so he started, and when we heard him, we had to start, whether we were ready or not. We started, and we sang and danced all night long. I still had a clear mind, and then I bathed in the lake on Tuesday morning. Then I went down the hill and continued to fast, just having two cups of acorn water every day. The acorn water had to be in a glass with a glass lid on it. One of the rules was that if the acorn water wasn't held in a glass, it would have to be in a waterproof basket, and it couldn't touch metal. A metal pot could not be used. They used to use agate pots or pots with a porcelain finish. I don't know why that is the rule, but you have to go by the rules. Around this time on the second day, I started getting an altered state of mind. On the third day, all the impurities in your system come out. You will throw up yellow bile from your liver. Sometimes it is black because you have so many poisons in you. Your whole system becomes thoroughly cleaned out. Fasting is an important part of preparing for and taking part in ceremonies. Fasting alters the state of your mind and cleans out your whole system. When you go up to Elk Valley just to clean up or to stay a few nights. You stay at the first camp, near the opening of the valley, where the road comes down into the valley. There's water and everything you need there at this camp. When you're making medicine for the brush dance or some other reason, like I was, you stay at the other end of the valley, higher up. I don't know what the differences are, but when you stay down at the first camp, nothing happens. The voices don't talk to you. You have good feelings, but the voices don't talk, and the valley doesn't talk to you. But if you leave the valley floor and start going up toward Chimney Rock or Doctor Rock, they really start talking loud to you. When you're there making medicine, picking up the power for some purpose, for a dance, for a healing, for a reason, you go to the last camp, up high in the valley, and listen to the voices. But if you're not going to do something with the power, it's not good for you to have it. When I was a 6-year-old child, I went up with Auntie and the other women for the first time. We weren't preparing for a dance. So all of us except my aunt stayed at the first camp, where the trail just starts to go up out of the valley. Since Auntie was purifying herself, she went up the hill and bathed and cleaned herself and did her thing. She stayed up there all day and then came down in the evening. Every time I've been to Elk Valley, the power starts talking, and it talks until you close your mind to it. And then the voices will stop. Unless you're going to do something like be in a ceremony, you don't listen to the voices. When you go there to pray or purify yourself or just to be there, you don't listen. You're not picking up any power. You're just kind of renewing yourself if you have a burden on your soul. In one case, you go up for your soul's sake, and in the other, you are there to pick up power to give out to the people so they will feel good, and you have to give all that power away. If you hang on to any little piece of it, you suffer for it. If you pick up power and keep it for yourself rather than giving it to the people, you will suffer for that. It's not a place to mess around with. It sounds crazy. There's just this quiet valley with a little breeze blowing and not a thing in it. Nothing you can see. The medicine people I grew up with talked about the little people trails and their nests. These were the little people who come and torment you before you die, who could drive you crazy if you go to their place and start talking to them. Whenever you go out to make medicine, you always have someone along that you can call out to in case anything goes wrong. I always feel that they are there to watch your back for the little people and to keep the little people away from you while you are open and unprotected, the way you are when you are making medicine. If the little people get to you, you could go crazy, or they might steal you away and take you back with them, or they might take away the medicine that you're making for themselves instead of letting you have it for the people. I don't know what they really do, but you watch out for them. They like tobacco, so you leave tobacco for them as a gift. Then they're supposed to leave you alone, even though you are in their territory. When you go up the medicine trails, you stop at places on the trail as you're walking along and leave a little tobacco here and a little tobacco there, and you burn a little bit for the little people. And make a little medicine each time to feed the little people so that they don't torment you or follow you up the trail. You just stop at places as you're walking along. This looks like a good little place to leave something for them. This looks like a good place for them. If it feels like a good place, you throw out some tobacco there for them. When Long Gone was working as a surveyor, he would tear up his cigarettes and leave tobacco for those little people when he got into the high country where the little people live. Pay them. Say, I have some things for you. If you get too high into the mountains and the feeling gets too strong, take a few little shells with you to leave too. Because it might not just be the little people. There might be the big spirits up there. When the Creator talks to you, there is an awesome feeling, like looking into the Grand Canyon.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called The Powers in Elk Valley. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.
Hey, yeah, hey, yo.